President Trump has promised to bring back coal jobs, but there are only around 6,500 in Kentucky, and the leading threat is still cheap natural gas, according to the Lexington, Kentucky Herald Leader. So what to do? Well, why not ask the coal workers? That's what's happening after a conversation at MIT between a Kentucky alum, Sam Ford, and researcher Daniela Roos, who heads MIT's famed Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, or CSAIL. As a result, CSAIL partnered with the Kentucky nonprofit SOAR, Shaping Our Appalachian Region, and soon tech businesses like the Pikesville-based BitSource and researchers like Jeff Freilich were traveling back and forth to learn from each other and share technology like MIT's app inventor. Jeff Freilich is with MIT CSAIL. He's been working with Rusty Justice. Yes, that's his fabulous name. He's co-owner of BitSource in Kentucky. Guys, say hi.
Jeff, how are you today?
Hi, Rusty. How are you? Hi, Robin.
Rusty, I want to launch in with you. You are a coal miner.
I have a degree in mining engineering from the University of Kentucky, and I'm a licensed coal miner. I sure am.
Talk about the transition to software.
Well, to coin a phrase one of our developers used, it was motivation through starvation. We just had a collapse of our industry. We owned a company that did engineering work and actual excavation construction work, primarily in the energy space, and most of that in the coal industry, although we have an oil and gas industry here as well. And all of our customer base just ceased to exist. They went out of business within about a 12-month period of time. And we'd been in business here for over 30 years. So we were looking for ways to diversify and bring opportunity for so many of these displaced workers that we had worked along and made a career around and understood their capabilities and, their work ethic.
Well, this brings us to Sam Ford. He was that MIT alum and Kentucky professor who created something called the Future of Work Initiative. Rusty, he came and talked to you after that chance encounter at MIT's CSAIL, again, the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab. Jeff, pick up the story of what happened there.
Sam, when he was visiting with CSAIL, met with the director of our lab, Daniela Roos, who is a world-renowned roboticist and also an educator. And so she asked Sam, what do people in Kentucky feel about how AI and robotics are going to change the future of work? And what Sam said, I think, was really, really pivotal. He said, as a Kentuckian, it's really hard to be excited about the future of work when you don't really think you're part of it. And that in itself, I think, is the key phrase here. We know we're churning out technology. We know we're doing things that are world-changing and have tremendous impact. But if people don't really understand or believe or feel like they can be part of that revolution, then how can they feel anything but threatened by it?
Yeah. Did you have some preconceived notions of what you'd find there?
Absolutely. Bubbles of misconceptions that it took me some time to get them to start popping. I really learned a lot. Having come from the Northeast and grown up with a perception about renewable energy is that coal is bad and really a bad part of anyone's future, that all Kentuckians really want to have coal in their future. I think the truth is that they all know coal's going away. That part of the problem is that you can't just stop the production of coal and expect everybody to be able to manage for themselves something that's been for four or five generations in a family of supporting that family. But I think one of the biggest discoveries that I made is that people in rural Kentucky that aren't necessarily part of the digital revolution, it's not because they can't be part of it. It's because there's so many obstacles. They know they have to reinvent their future. And part of these obstacles, probably one of the biggest ones, is perception, that they have to understand they can solve some of these problems. They can go into the workforce as programmers, as coders, as high-tech people. And they have to believe themselves that they can do the same.
Rusty?
Sam, we had a conversation just exploring, if there was something that could be done to combine the needs we have in rural areas in Kentucky with, all the resources that they have at MIT. We just had a displaced workforce that we needed to find something that would work here in our region where we're geographically bound by the mountainous terrain. Agriculture and large-scale manufacturing typically doesn't exist in mountainous areas. So we saw that there was earning potential equivalent to our mining jobs in the tech sector and that there was a demand for tech workers and that was a product we could produce here and export over fiber optic cable to the greater market in the world.
That's probably where one of the idea of App Inventor comes in. App Inventor is a platform that it's free, it's open source. It's already deployed to millions and millions of people around the world. 400,000 people are developing apps with it every day. Most of them are young, but it really gives a sense of being able to create something using your domain knowledge that could be useful on a smartphone. So we took that idea that had already been implemented in, let's say, a shirt factory in Taiwan, where people that were doing menial jobs or jobs that maybe wouldn't be considered part of the digital revolution. And there they used App Inventor to teach some of these people that they can take computational thinking and be able to create solutions to problems they didn't really know that they could do before. We think the same thing could be applied to these communities in rural Kentucky to give them that sense that, yes, I can be part of the digital revolution. But there's an obstacle. Things we take for granted, such as in the Northeast or on the West Coast, is that broadband is a commodity. Everybody has it. In rural Kentucky, they don't. It's just not economically feasible. So to do something as simple as a Skype call to talk to people is probably intractable.
Well, we know last spring the proposed budget would cut broadband expansion in Kentucky and elsewhere, so we'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, Rusty, how are you seeing the App Inventor play a role in what you're doing?
First, it's an excellent tool for introducing tech to kids in grade and high school. But in workforce development of displaced workers, it's a really good tool to prove if a person has the capability to transition to tech before you invest a lot of money into them.
And do they, what are you finding? Do coal miners and the children of coal miners, do they have as much ability to transfer to tech as anyone?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, they probably have a higher aptitude. Mining is a very technologically advanced process, and so there's already a lot of remote sensing and robotics and a lot of collaborative effort in mining. It's very complex.
But are you finding that there's part of the heart of the people you work with, or maybe even your own, having worked with, you know, your hands in the earth, you're now sitting at a desk?
That's part of the commonality, actually. You know, we sit in the cabs of machinery, or we sit at workstations at the mine and concentrate on a task, you know, for prolonged periods of time. So that's actually one of the things in common.
Yeah. See, I learned something.
To quote a friend Jeff and I made from Carnegie Mellon, mining and tech, they're not hard, they're just complicated. And so Jeff and I visited some mining operations, and they got to see that firsthand. There's so many misconceptions about Appalachia. You know, I just think we live in probably the most misunderstood part of the country. And so often people try to do things here that are well-intended, but because they don't understand the challenges and the culture, that it maybe has counterproductive results. And so we see tech as one thing, as a part of solution to change some of these longstanding problems that we have here in Central Appalachia.
Well, you obviously see it, but I'm wondering if you're watching other people realize it for the first time.
Yes, it's an internal and an external challenge. Getting people to reimagine themselves, that's when Jeff and the group that we traveled around for 3 days, we called it the Reimagine Appalachia Tour, and we just named that ourselves. But getting people to see a different way. You know, that's our logo, our slogan at BitSource, a new day, a new way. And so getting people here to realize that there is a new way that we can stay here and earn a good living. The second challenge is to convince the outside world that we are capable of doing this work.
What kinds of things are you, quote unquote, making at BitSource?
We do augmented realities. We do web sites and web applications. And then we build apps. So right now, for example, we're building an overdose response app for the opioid epidemic. But, you know, we're right in the ground zero of that, kind of. And so we're building a response app. It's out in beta right now being tested for first responders to get naloxone to overdose victims. We think it'll save lives. You know, one of the things our workforce has is domain expertise. So we have built an app to do electronic driver's logs for over-the-road truck drivers. But we've built and launched over 70 projects. We've worked for companies from California to Texas to Florida. And we're building a network, which is something that did not exist here prior to BitSource. We're making those connections with the tech community, and folks like Jeff are helping us do that.
MIT is not trying to solve problems in the way of just getting involved and being a savior for Kentucky. What we really think about the App Inventor idea is that it enables them to be able to develop their own solutions. But I don't know if you were aware, our vice president of research, Maria Zuber, is the daughter of a coal mining family. So there is really imbued in a lot of MIT leadership a desire to see these demographics be successful. And it doesn't come from user technology or use our platforms. It really comes from teach us what would help you become successful, and we can kind of show you what we know about technology that you can take on your own and develop those solutions.
The whole fish thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrific. That's Jeff Freilich, Associate Director of Alliances at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, or CSAIL. And we also spoke with Rusty Justice, co-owner of the software company BitSource in Pikesville, Kentucky. Jeff, Rusty, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.